was outside of the fact of teaching these courses. We got involved with Millicom. In 1989, they had come back to the United States and wanted us to join with them for PCS, and they wanted this wideband CDMA. As I mentioned, we demonstrated a wideband CDMA system to them, took voice through it, they liked it very much. We went to the FCC. Al Sykes was the chairman of the FCC at that time. We made our presentation to him. He allowed us to pick the frequency band. I think it was 1840 to 1990, I forget the numbers right now. But the 18th, the low side was chosen to be just above the military band, and the high side just below the, just above the military, and the high side was just below the FM band that was used by newscasters. It lay right inside the microwave band, where the microwave uses. And we were able to demonstrate to the FCC that using our approach, we did not interfere with those microwave users, and they would not interfere with us.
Is this the Florida experiment?
There was a Florida experiment in Orlando, but there were other experiments in Dallas and Houston, in San Diego. We demonstrated all over the world. We demonstrated in China, etc. We really put this through the paces, and we got an experimental license, obviously, in order to do this stuff. But other companies got experimental licenses as well. And then there was a shootout. By the time there was a shootout for the whole thing, Millicom had decided they didn't like messing around and talking to the FCC. And they went offshore and established themselves with a Luxembourg company. We then joined with InterDigital Communications Corporation. We merged with them. I became executive vice president and also vice chairman of the board, and a 10% shareholder. And it was that time that I left City College, retired from City, and went to work full-time at this job. And what we were doing is primarily selling wireless local loop systems, which is a wireless telephone system to people that could not afford or they could not have a wired infrastructure. For example, in Indonesia, 25,000 islands. How do you run the cable?
Right.
In China, in order to run cable, there's not enough copper in the world to supply people with wired communication. Nor are there enough people to install that copper if there was such copper in a lifetime. So if you want to get people up to snuff in a short time so that they can be capitalistic, in a capitalistic society, you must communicate. And in order to communicate quickly, we had to provide them with wireless communication. So that was InterDigital's business, doing that with TDMA first, and then they wanted our CDMA, and that was under development. So they now have the CDMA product working and available for sale. I don't know what the status is with them. I then got involved with, after I left InterDigital at the end of 94, I basically took a year off. And in 1996, I got involved with Golden Bridge Technology, a company that wanted to get involved with third-generation standards of wireless to give that higher quality. And their whole idea was to use the match filter as a receiver, while InterDigital and Qualcomm, they use correlated receivers. And when you use a correlated receiver, you really need a pilot signal to do it right. And indeed, Qualcomm is now putting in a pilot signal to do it that way. InterDigital already had a pilot signal. Those are part of my patents, to do this correlation with the pilot. But when we came to GBT, the idea was to use match filters. You did not need the pilot signal. You used the header, which is a little different philosophy. You preceded each signal with a header. And so it was packet oriented. Because the match filter detected a particular packet.
Right.
This concept of packet orientation is extremely important for third generation and fourth generation technologies because it allows you to synchronize each bit at a time, each symbol at a time. Much more efficient operation and much more immune to the vagaries of Doppler shift and multipath and things like that. sure I was. I then started with ATT and GBT, the TIA group 46.1, which standardizes technology, the Golden Bridge technology in TIA for third generation use.
Okay, what is TIA?
Telecommunication Industry Association. It is the U.S. standards body, or one of them.
Mm-hmm. And 46.1?
46.1 that's broken into committees.
Okay.
So we were involved with 46.1. And in that committee we started, we had a whole bunch of companies that agreed with our philosophy. They came along and helped us develop it. And then we found that the Japanese, their standards body is called the RIB, A-R-I-B, and the European standard body called ETSI, agreed with our design, and their design and our design was almost one-to-one. And we decided, our committee decided to accept the ARIB ETSI, and we basically merged all of our standards into one and agreed to work together. And at that point, we were joined by T1P1, which is, again, another U.S. standards group made up of operating companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they joined us. So it was a very powerful U.S., and that's what got me very upset when Madeleine Albright decided that the Qualcomm system was a U.S. standard and the wideband CDMA was a foreign standard. She made that comment in the newspapers. And totally wrong. There were two U.S. standards for CDMA. A narrowband standard, which was Qualcomm's, and a wideband standard, which is TIA 46.1. The Qualcomm one was called 45, MIDI 45. Now it's 46. So, and ours had the support of T1P1, and was worldwide. So there was a worldwide standards body and a Qualcomm standards body. Now what we're doing, the whole world organization got together. They decided that, look, it's ridiculous to have all these different standards. Let's try to meld them together. And let's try to make it so that at least on the network level, the infrastructure, no matter what handset you use, you'll be able to connect worldwide. Because the network will do the translation.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like the way they're going. So if I look at my role in 3G, I was one of the prime movers in using this match filter-based technology. I look at it like the Japanese are using basically my technology. The Japanese are really the forerunners of this third generation. They needed it desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I was one of the originators of the whole thing. Indeed, I've been preaching wideband CDMA since 1985. When everyone was telling me that narrowband CDMA, Qualcomm system, was the way to go, I think now the whole world agrees that wideband CDMA is the way to go. And my own opinion is that Qualcomm will switch in another few years, just enough time to let it stay safe.
Hmm.
Again, that's strictly my opinion.
Right.
All right, but I think everyone is working on wideband CDMA, and it will be adapted. The standards process is ready to close now in November. Very few changes will come in after that. The idea of packet transmission, internet communication with packets, is being adopted. So the whole thing that I've been working for all my life, it seems, is going to come true, and I'm a very happy camper because of that. And as a result of that, I received the Armstrong Award in 1990, I guess it was 1998, my work in that wireless communication, and I'm very proud of that award, because I'm very proud of that fact.